finally, it was your job to prove to the jury that there is reasonable doubt as to whether Tim McVeigh was actually the Oklahoma City bomber. Is that true?
Yes.
The jury deliberated for 3 days.
Actually, Friday to Monday.
Did you think that as the days went on, that was favoring you or not? Or did you expect an early decision?
I did not think that delay was necessarily favoring us. After the Dallas Morning News story, there was an earthquake for the defense. I mean, the ground tilted away from us. I think before that, we could have had a different result. I believe that if you go back and read the newspapers at the time, the magazines, Rick Serrano's book, I think the government was truly worried. As, in fact, it turned out in the Nichols case, that they had reason to be worried. I mean, it could have been won. What's winning? Well, there are various definitions of winning, but certainly a conviction for murder, conspiracy, and a death sentence, anything less than that is a victory. How much less? I don't know. But Tim McVeigh didn't want a life sentence.
He didn't want it.
He made that very clear. And, in fact, Ann Bradley, the same person that I mentioned earlier, she advised me, wrote me a memorandum. She said, if he is convicted, what do you intend to do? And I said, well, they'll probably appoint me to do the appeal. And she said, you must not do the appeal. I said, why do you say that? She said, because he's going to sabotage it. It's all for nothing. She said, you can't control him any longer. And I thought about that, and I realized that was right. And when I went out to see him, I told him I wouldn't represent him on appeal. And he was quite surprised. He said, well, why? I said, well, I could tell you various reasons, but the truth of the matter is I can't control you any longer. I could barely control you through the trial. Sure enough, that's exactly what he did. And then when I went to Judge Mache and I said, I'd like permission to withdraw, he said, I'm not going to let you withdraw. You can't withdraw till judgment and sentence is pronounced and you file notice of appeal. And he said, now, if you want to talk to the circuit, you need to go talk to them. So I took his advice and I went over and talked to Elizabeth Shoemaker, who's now the clerk. At that time, she was a deputy clerk. And she said, well, we're not going to let you out. Why would we let you out? You know the rules. You've been here. Any lawyer that's appointed to do the trial does the appeal. She said, is there a conflict of interest? And I said, no, not that I'm aware of, which probably was a little less than candid. She said, well, you're going to do the appeal. She said, you can file an application with the court if you want to, but I can tell you now it's not going to be granted. Well, in fact, it was granted, but there were some changes. And actually, Tim gave me the key. He didn't want me to do the appeal. I didn't want to do the appeal. I told him the circuit wouldn't let me out, and for once, McVeigh figured a way to get me out. So he was rather ingenious in that respect.
So your parting was not good with Mr. McVeigh?
Well, I wouldn't say that it was not good. I would say it was correct. It was not cordial, but it was correct. Tim McVeigh was capable of acting like the soldier. He could act appropriately, I suppose is the best choice of words. A lot of the time we got along very well. He called my house one night, Collect. My wife answered the phone. The operator said, Collect called from Tim. Cheryl said, Tim? Tim who? McVeigh was on the line. He said, Tim! And Cheryl said, oh, yes, of course. She said, yes, we'll accept it. I wasn't there, and she talked to him for a few minutes. He was an interesting man. I can tell you one thing. He was not a coward, despite the government's depictions of him. He was bright. Perhaps the most telling thing about Tim McVeigh, and this is hard for people to understand, in the second stage, the death penalty stage, we brought 44 people to Denver to testify to save Tim McVeigh's life. 38 of them actually testified. Friends, family, employers, co-employees, neighbors, relatives, army buddies, parents. When Terry Nichols had his hearing on punishment, no one testified outside his family. One of the people that we brought was a former girlfriend of Tim's. He'd give me her name, and we'd found her, and we brought her to Denver. And I told Tim, I said, well, so-and-so is here. He said, well, I don't want you to use her. I don't want you to call her to the stand. I said, well, why not? He said, well, it's not going to make any difference. And secondly, she'll never escape that. He said, she'll never escape that. It's not right. I said, okay, partner, I'll tell her. He said, well, I'll start to ask you if she could see me, but he said, I realize that's not possible either. Just tell her I appreciated her willingness to help. I said, okay, I'll tell her. So I think Rob and I actually told her. So he thought the government had done a great wrong, and he was used, in his words, to avenge that wrong.